Let me tell you about the love of God. You know why God didn't wipe the world out with a, you know, hey, if God wanted to destroy the world with a flood, he could just, you know, one big bloop, and that would have been it, in 2 seconds flat, right? I wonder why God let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. I'll tell you why. I know the answer. For those of you that don't want to accept this, I cannot make you believe it, but I do know from God that this is the truth. So for those of you that can receive it, receive it. Those people saw some tremendous miracles in the times of Noah. First miracle was they saw the animals come to the ark. Did you? How many of you knew that? Genesis chapter 6, verse 20, it doesn't say God, Noah sent his sons out to get the animals. It says that the animals came to him. God just used what he already wired in them. Migration. Animals migrate. God just rewired that old migration button and sent them to the ark. It was real easy. He used what he already put in them. Now, Noah had preached, according to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, for 120 years. And he didn't have one single convert. Not one. The only people that were saved were these eight. His own wife and his three sons and their daughters. Only saved people on the whole earth. Now, that wasn't bad preaching. It just showed the hardness of their heart. Now, there was another thing going on. There was a guy named Methuselah. M-E-T-H-U, Selah, S-E-L-A-H, which means Methuselah, when he dies, Selah, it shall be sent, or it shall happen. What? Judgment, the flood. And if you'll do a little math, and I've got that on a teaching that I've taught most of you, the very year Methuselah died is the exact year the flood came. And so Methuselah was a living, walking prophecy. Watch it, boy. When this guy dies, judgment is coming on this earth. And he died before the flood because God always has a time for repentance. See, the world had to see him die and have a chance to repent. And so here's Methuselah and Noah prophesying and preaching that judgment's coming, repent. Get on the ark. The Bible says that the reaction of the people to this, according to Matthew 24, was that when judgment comes a second time, it'll be just like the first time. The days of Noah. Remember that in Matthew 24? Jesus taught it. When people were given in marriage, eating, drinking, going to work, someone says, what's so bad about that, Floyd? That didn't sound bad. It was bad because that was the people's reaction to the preaching of Noah and Methuselah. These men were saying, repent, judgment is coming. And what was the what was people's reaction? Life as usual. Weddings. Going to work. Eat, drink. Nothing wrong with eating, drinking, going to work. But it is when judgment's being preached and you don't repent. In other words, they were caught up in everyday's life and saying, boy, there's no end to this. It'll just go on forever. So that was man's reaction to that preaching. So the people saw a miracle. Animals of their own free will came to that ark. Now, let me suggest this, that the earth, that the oceans of the earth were extremely small at that time. You say, what in the world do you base that on? The very fact that where in the world did all the water go to? If the world is flooded, where are you going to put all that water? Where did it run to? God spread the ocean floors and made room for it. And that's when the ocean floor spread, not billions of years ago. Spread after the flood to accommodate it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, that if this is the earth, that there was a layer of water. Genesis 1, 7. And also, Psalms 148, verse 4 and 5, that there used to be a layer of water around the earth, above our atmosphere, and it is not there today. My point is, where did the water come from that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights? Believe me, I did a mathematical computation once back when I was a scientist, and there's not enough water vapor in the air right now to rain. But about, I forget now what I got, but something like 8 minutes, 12 minutes, something on that order. Worldwide, that's all it'll do. Where'd all the water come from that it rained? It came from this layer that God says was there, but is not there anymore. God says in Genesis chapter 1, he divided the waters and put, he divided it. Now, if I asked you to look, if I gave you a lump of something, I said, no, divide that and put some over here, no, some over here. Did you know that all most likely you'd put half and half? Now you don't have to. I'm not trying. Don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to oversell that idea. But I mean, if I just gave you a lump of something and said divide that into two piles, you'd probably pretty much divide it right down the middle. And the Bible says God divided the waters and put some above our atmosphere, the firmament where the birds fly, and some of it he put in the fountains of the great deep. So I'm just going to suggest the possibility, Harold, that about half of it was up there and about half of it was down here. And it rained. The Bible also says in Genesis chapter 2 that it had never rained until this happened. Never. And Hebrews chapter 11 says that those people were called upon, that Noah was called upon to act upon something he had never seen rain. All right, miracle number one these people saw. So what I'm saying is the oceans were small, everybody spoke one language. You could get the word around the world 15 dozen times that some nut is building an ark out in the middle of a dry, landlocked place. And it's an enormous monument. 450 feet long, a football field and a half long. And everyone in the world knew it. The seas were small. They could get the one language. Everybody knew it. I can just see you having a picnic on the hill to watch that fool work. The laughing stock of the world. Christian, if you're the laughing stock down at the office, understand Noah understood. So the first miracle, see, God didn't want these people to perish, so he gives them a miracle. First, he gives them good preaching for 120 years, and people were living a long time in those days. And that layer of water vapor up there was the reason why they were living a long time. That's another story. Then God gave them a miracle. While people were watching, I know it's true. The Bible doesn't say that they were watching. I just know it in my spirit. Down marches all these animals. A miracle. The word of that spread fast. I'll guarantee you. Then Noah went into the ark with his sons and the animals, and God shut the door. And the people saw another miracle. That door shut all by itself. Miracle number two. And then Noah experienced something that every one of you have experienced. And I'm so glad he experienced it. It gives me faith. Nothing happened for 7 days. Have you ever done something that you believe God was leading you to do and nothing happened? Lord, was that you? Did I hear right? You know, I thought, golly, you know, I did this and I went there and I moved here and I did this and nothing's happened. Lord, let Paul experienced that too when he had that vision, and the guy from Macedonia says, come over here and help us. And so he came and helped. You know what happened? They threw him in jail. Can't you just picture old Paul in jail in the dungeon when stocks in? Lord, I thought you said come. Where's the red carpet? I mean, where's the big 2,000 member church for me to preach to? You know, I mean, I can't save very many people down in this dungeon, but he did. All right. 7 days, nothing. I can just see Noah doubting and wondering, scratching his head. Lord, did I hear you right? Then it began to rain. Miracle three. You're there. And you and I have neglected and ignored Noah's preaching. And it begins to rain. A miracle. We have never seen it. You know why? God wanted to save them. And the rain came. And as the rain began to make the water rise, and we've never seen water rise, we're smarter than most animals, because we're not animals. We're men. I reject man's classification system of plants and animals. I am not an animal. I am a man. Body, soul, and spirit, like God. I am three in one, like God. I am in the image of God. God took on an image. He came like this, hands, legs, feet, head, eyes, and I am in that image. I am not an animal. I am man, created a little lower than angels. And the water began to rise, and that was the love of God that let that water rise slowly for 40 days and 40 nights. Because as that water rose, I started doing some hard thinking. Now, Noah preached this was going to happen, and sure enough, it is. and I didn't believe him. What am I going to do? Those people did one of two things. Hey, there weren't any lukewarm people anymore. There weren't any philosophers around anymore. There weren't any fence travelers about Noah's preaching anymore. Baby, you hated God and cursed him violently, or you repented. So that some people shook their fist at the sky and screamed, "Stop!" But beloved, these scriptures reveal to us that some of them fell on their knees and said, "Dear God, I'm wrong." Because there's an eternal principle in the Bible that says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's an eternal principle. And I know that some of those people repented. And that's another brings about another principle in the Bible, but they died. Which brings about another principle in the Bible, which is in 1 Corinthians, and I believe it's chapter 5, and I forget the verse, but God was talking about putting an overt sinner out of the body of Christ so that his flesh would be punished, that his spirit would be saved. These people's flesh was punished, that their spirits be saved. Now, if you were one of those guys, you'd hardly know anything about God, right? I mean, all you've ever done is rebel your whole life, and all you were doing is, you know, blub, 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 I repent, blub, and that's it. Now, really, you don't know what's going on. You never made an animal sacrifice. You hadn't hardly done anything right. You say, "Boy, Floyd, you believe God would forgive somebody like that? He did the thief on the cross, didn't he?" Hey, don't tell me that guy's good deeds outweighed his bad deeds. He only made about one right decision his whole life. Therefore, what happened when you put the whole story together? I think you can see it. This is what it's talking about. Jesus came to the ones that were killed, that died in Noah's flood. Jesus comes down to paradise and says, "Fellows, I am the seed of the woman." Genesis 3:15. "I am the seed that was promised Abraham. I'm the Messiah. All those lambs you killed, it was about me. All the animals that ever died, it was about my blood. Here's my blood. My blood, the blood of God. I'm God in the flesh. I'm Jehovah. I'm Yahweh Elohim. Here's the blood. I have paid. Your sins are no longer covered. They're paid for. And now you don't have to stay down here in this place. Now, because your sins are paid and sin has permanently been judged, I'm taking you out of this place." The Bible in Ephesians 4 calls that leading the captives captive. And he led them out of there. He told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He took him down here. And then, after proclaiming the good news to those that died in the flood, says, "Fellas, you don't know much about me, but I'm going to just tell you, that last moment that your miserable life was in existence, as that water rose slowly to give you plenty of time to think over your sins and to think about what Noah and Methuselah had told you, I'm the one they were preaching about. And though you don't deserve it, this blood covered your sins and paid for them. Come on, fellas, we're leaving this place. There's a better place even than this." And he led those captives out of that place and took them to the presence of God, which is called, he took paradise to the third heaven. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, "I know a guy that died 14 years ago." Well, he didn't say he knew he died. He just said, "I know a guy 14 years ago and he went to paradise, the third heaven. And I don't know whether I was there in the body or in the spirit. All I know is I'm not allowed to tell you all the wonderful things I saw there." Beloved, that was written in 60 A.D., Corinthians, 2 Corinthians was. If you'll just study your Bible a little bit, you'll find out that something important happened in 46 A.D. Paul went to a little town named Lystra, Acts chapter 14, and got stoned to death. He got killed. Now, you may never have realized that, but he did. It says they stoned him and drug him out and dumped him there outside the city. It says his friends walked around and looked at him, and he just got up and walked away. Now, if you ever read about a stoning, you don't just get up and walk away. Paul said, "I know a man 14 years ago, I don't know whether I was in the body or in the spirit." He didn't really know when he wrote that. But then he knew later, because he said later, flesh and blood could not go to heaven. Therefore, he had to be in the spirit. See, we know now. When we got the whole revelation of the Bible, we can put the whole story together. So that happened in 46 A.D., subtract, and that's 14 years. Yeah, Paul went to paradise. So that after that, you know what Paul said? Weird things like, "Man, I don't know whether it's best to stay down here with you guys or to go home and be with the Lord. I mean, land, wow. So that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, says, absence from the body is presence with the Lord. Beloved, there's no, that crushes the teachings of purgatory. Absence from the body is presence with the Lord. I got good news. And if you're in here from a denomination that teaches purgatory, I'm not saying that to hurt your heart. But see, I happen to love you guys, and I don't want you afraid to die. That you're going to go burn somewhere for a while to pay for some sins, because Jesus paid them all. That's the good news of the gospel. You don't have to fear God. The devil wants you to fear God. God doesn't want you to fear death. The devil wants you to fear death. And so, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians 1, 20, 21 through 23 teaches the exact same thing, that, boy, when you die, you're with the Lord in paradise. And paradise got moved. Jesus, hey, it was a big snatch. He just snatched that place up and took it with him. And he's going to do it again. We're down here, and he's getting ready to snatch us up out of this place and move us up there with him. Now, beloved, that is the big picture of what we've been talking about here in Revelation about what happens to those that die. So, these three Greek words, Hades, the place where the dead were, the both saved and lost in the Old Testament. Now, Hades still has people in it. The lost people are still in Hades. Hades, or Sheol, is that place where the unsaved dead are waiting for judgment. And it's not a good place, but it's not the lake of fire. But there is torment there. All right, there's the absence of God. I don't know about you, but just knowing that God isn't there is bad enough. I don't know about you. I cannot imagine. One time I tried to conceive of what it meant when Jesus said, "Why have you forsaken me?" I could not conceive of that. You see, I've never been God forsaken. I thought I was. I felt like it. You know, you have to sometimes, but we know better. I couldn't conceive of how terrible it must feel to know that you were forsaken. Tartaros is only mentioned twice in the Bible, actually only once by name and once and one other time by inference. Tartaros is the place where, according to Jude 6 and 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, the angels that fell have been bound there by God, and they're waiting on judgment. And it says it's a dark, gloomy place, and they're bound, and they can't get out. And that's where they are. Don't ask me where the demons came from. Okay? I know there are many guesses, but the Bible really doesn't say. So I'm not going to even make a... I'm not going to make a sanctified statement on it. Okay? Gehenna, the third word in the Greek, is the lake of fire, hell. Okay? So that... Now let me say this. You needed to know that. Let me tell you why. Most scriptures that you thought it said something about going to hell in the Bible don't say that. It's the word Hades almost every time. Now, before the cross, Hades had both saved and lost people in it, two compartments. Since the cross, one side is empty. They're in the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. That's good news. Last verse for tonight, verse 20 again. And the beast, Revelation 19, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that brought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and those that worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest of the people on the earth were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, the word of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And so, beloved, the first two occupants of Gehenna, hell, are the Antichrist and his false prophet. Nobody is in the lake of fire now. Many people are in Hades now, waiting judgment. Shall I put it this way? So God sends these two to the lake of fire even before judgment. In other words, their sin is so overt, their guilt was so obvious, he put them right in there before judgment.